I was thinking about how to introduce it, and just a thought I had, probably, I want to say it was about a year ago, I might be wrong, but somewhere around a year ago, a group of us from the church, we went to, there was a new thing in town, it was called an escape room. And I had heard about escape rooms, I didn't know what it was about. I thought, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking escape room, I'm thinking of Houdini or something, you know, they lock you up and all this and you got to figure out how to get out of it. So I didn't really think of it as a straitjacket or thing, but you know, I thought they'd put you in a room and basically you're locked in there until you can somehow find the key or, you know, come up with a combination and let yourself out. And if you don't get out, it's tough, you know. I didn't know what to expect. Eventually you'd break the door down or something or call 911. But it was a little different than that. It was fascinating. It was basically a series of puzzles you had to solve, right? And there's an overall theme with the room, and it was a whole series of riddles, a series of puzzles. It was just, you know, you had to find these things, figure out the riddle, get the answer, and then that hopefully gave you the clue for the next one, and you know, you go on until you finally solved the entire thing. And there were these chests in this particular theme that you had to, was it a pirate theme or something like that? You had to open these chests, and then in the end you get the, you know, the grand prize, and then they let you out. What they told us in the beginning was, you know, basically gave us the what we had to accomplish. And they mentioned that there were three helps or hints that they would give you. And they left us with a walkie-talkie and left the room. And so we were in there for about at least a half an hour. And the first little while, you know, you're just trying to figure out the first thing. Just get started. And usually once the ball gets rolling, then you can begin to, you know, kind of understand what to do. And Cameron was there, and Michelle was there, and Josh, you were there too, right? And Betsy and Nathan, and fortunately, like Cameron and Nathan and Betsy and, I don't know, Michelle and I, we were told what to do, right? They said, can you do this? They're figuring it out, and they're like, do that, and do this, and, you know. And so that was fine, because I was clueless anyway, so it was just like, I'm just standing there going, I don't have what I don't understand. What do we do? So anyway, they were doing this, but then, you know, basically they gave you an hour, so you had an hour to solve it, right? And we're starting to make some headway. We're getting some things figured out, and it was all good. But about 40 minutes went by, and then all of a sudden we're thinking, I don't know if we're going to make this in an hour. You know, we were beginning to panic a little bit about getting it solved. And I think nobody had solved it before. So after about 40 minutes, finally a voice came over the walkie-talkie and they said, you haven't taken a clue yet. And we're like, oh yeah, hey, we have these hints, you know. So then we're like, well, come on in, tell us, you know. So they come in and they give you a little hint. And then that gets you going. And so we had three, but we hadn't used them. And you say, what does that have to do with this? Well, you don't even know what the message is about, so I haven't even told you. I'm thinking about the subject of prayer today. And you know, so many times I've watched Christians trying to figure out the mysteries of life and how to navigate through life. And there's a resource, there's a help available, and oftentimes we don't avail ourselves of it. And that help is the privilege of prayer. As a believer and as a child of God, we have a wonderful resource called prayer. And I want you to look with me in James chapter 5 and verse number 14. This really isn't our text. I'm going to take us to a lot of scriptures this morning, but this will get us started. He says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then he gives us this illustration. Elias, which is the Old Testament prophet Elijah, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, our desire this morning is that we would sit at your feet and allow you to teach us. And Lord, that you would instruct and help and give us understanding, give us grace. Lord, teach us to pray. And Father, I pray that you'd help me, as the mouthpiece, as the one doing the speaking today. Lord, I desire that you would have your will and your way through me. Lord, that you would help us to understand, that you would just work in our midst in a mighty way. That we would really, Lord, pray in such a manner that would glorify you, and our prayer life would be helped. And then also, Lord, I want to ask, please, that you would work, and if there is somebody that needs to be saved, that have not yet put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that, Father, you would really help them to understand how much you love them, what you did for them to make salvation possible. And Lord, today they would become a Christian, that they would put their faith upon you, repent of their sin, and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, we'll give you all of the thanks for everything you're doing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot of instruction here, I think, in this passage about prayer. I'll point out some of the things that are easily discovered. But, you know, I was thinking about prayer, and I've preached many, many, many times on prayer. And so I was thinking about, you know, our theme this year is building. The Lord said, upon this rock I will build my church. And it's our desire to be used of God, to allow the Lord to use our life to help Him build His church. And I believe, you know, we've talked about several things that are very vital in the, you know, we find in the Scripture in the aspect of building the church. And certainly one of those must be prayer. The church moves forward, someone said, on its knees. And prayer is a big part of our Christian life, and it needs to be a big part of church. We've tried through all of the 20 years that we've been here to be a church of prayer. I mean, think about that phrase Jesus said when he went into the temple and they were changing money and selling things and so on. And you remember he drove them out and he said, my house should be a house of prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves. You've made it a house of merchandise. And so the house of God is always to be a place of prayer, a house of prayer. And we've tried, as I say, to emphasize that throughout all the history of our church, and yet I think that it's true that we can certainly improve. We can certainly grow in the matter of prayer. In Luke chapter 11, I believe it is, where the Bible says that Jesus was praying, and it's a scene I think that happened quite often when you think about I like to picture in my mind when I read the Bible. I like to kind of like, you know, visualize in my mind the scene and the setting of what the Bible is talking about. And there it was saying that it. I have it written out here. It says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, and he there is the Lord. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And as I said, I think this is a scene that was common when you, if you follow the disciples and Jesus around, is that many times, you know, Jesus was often, we know he was teaching, he taught multitudes, and the disciples were there listening and maybe attending to the crowd and whatever. Many times, you know, they followed him as he traveled place to place, and sometimes as he dealt one-on-one with people. And so they were always there, but I think sometimes when they were in their quiet place, you know, their downtime, their alone time, I just have this picture in my mind, the disciples kind of sitting around a fire or something, you know, and poking at it and talking and everything, and Jesus is praying. I think oftentimes that was, you read about lots of times where, you know, he was in prayer. Sometimes the disciples would observe him getting up early in the morning and going off somewhere to pray. Sometimes he would send them away in the boat in the Sea of Galilee, and he went off into the mountains to pray. We read about that a lot, that Jesus sometimes he would pray, spend all night in prayer, and then show back up. And so they observed his prayer life, the Lord praying, which is really fascinating when you think about Jesus is God, the Son, and yet he's praying. And he told his disciples to watch and pray. You know, he encouraged them to pray. And I think finally, after they observed all of, you know, just watching him pray, and just really, it was beginning to dawn on them that this was a big part of the life of Jesus was prayer. And so one of them finally said, Lord, could you teach us to pray? And apparently John had taught his disciples. He said, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And so the Lord did give them some instructions about prayer. We know that as many times it's called the Lord's Prayer, the model of prayer. And in that model, he gives them some guidelines or some components of what should be in prayer. And we've talked about those on various occasions. But as we think about wanting to learn to pray, now I assume that virtually all of you pray, but how many feel that they really know how to pray? I won't ask you to raise your hand. But I'll confess that there's times when I'm not sure. You know, Romans 8 says, we know not what to pray for as we ought. And how many times we feel like, you know, I'm just not even sure what to pray. I don't even really know what to ask. We can all definitely improve and grow and increase our understanding of prayer. But prayer is such a wonderful privilege. And in fact, I know of no reason, think about this for a moment, I know of no reason why any one of us, if you're a child of God, if you're saved today, there's no reason why you could not have as strong of a prayer life as any person you want to name. I mean, we know people in history that were sort of giants of prayer. One of those names would be George Mueller. If you've never read the story of George Mueller, you should probably try to find his biography, or he wrote an autobiography as well. He was in England, he ran orphanages, and was known widely as a great man of prayer, saw many wonderful answers to prayer. And that's one example. There's others, you know, that you can read their books. You just know they had a very vibrant, living, strong prayer life. But there's no reason why that could not be true of every single one of us. I mean, because really, what does it take to pray? Right? It's not that they had some gift that we don't have. It's not as though they had some ability that we don't have. Because it's not a matter of knowing the right words or, you know, of being in the right position and posture. I mean, those things are really not what makes prayer powerful. And so if you're a Christian, you have access to God as much as they do or did. That's encouraging. It's maybe even somewhat challenging or convicting, because you might say, well, then how come I don't have see answers to prayer in the same fashion? So I want to just think with you this morning on if we can learn some things about what makes prayer, well, let me say it this way, what makes prayer work? What makes prayer strong? Well, there's some things here we can see. In verse number 17, well, okay, I read my notes and now I know why I said that. I'm going to say that was part of that last point I just made. The fact he gives us the illustration of Elijah, right? And in that he says basically, this is where the thought of all of us could have a strong life of prayer, because he says Elijah was a man of like passion such as you are. And in saying that, I mean, we think about Elijah, he was a prophet, you know, he was a very bold prophet, and we saw Elijah did mighty things. His predecessor, what would it be, the one that came after him, Elisha, he said, you know, he wanted a double portion of the spirit and power of Elijah. So Elijah, you know, we think of him as a powerful prophet. And he was, no doubt about it. But here James says, Elijah was a man just like you and me. The only greatness, the only power was God at work in his life. I mean, there was nothing in Elijah himself that made him a powerful prophet. It was only the grace of God. Right? And the same grace of God can work in us. That's what I'm saying. So he was a like man of, you know, a man of like passions. He was just flesh and blood. He had the same struggles, you know, same temptations, the same sinful nature that we have. And yet he was able to avail with the grace of God and pray and saw God do wonderful things through prayer. And so there's really no reason why we couldn't as well. All right, so that's the thought that's there. Now, as far as some lessons that I see here, in verse number 15, it says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick." Now, there's something that I think is taught in the Bible clearly, that we ought to pray in faith. If there's something that's, you know, in other words, if I'm trying to learn, Lord, teach me to pray, what is it that I should have in my prayer life? Well, first of all, we need to pray in faith. And it's not one of those, you know, sometimes that's, boy, that whole concept has been misrepresented many times by Christianity. You know, that you just sort of name it and claim it, and if I believe it strong enough, it's got to happen. And that's just not true. Our faith, what is faith? What is faith, by the way? If I can give you a really, really first grade definition, faith is taking God at His word. It's not about me naming and claiming something. It's not about me just, you know, willing it to happen. It's I put faith in God and I put faith in God's word, trusting what God tells me. And that's the basis of my faith. But we should pray in faith. You know, he does say to ask in faith, and whatsoever you ask in faith, he will give. But in that, there's wrapped up in that part of that, and we'll get to this more, is the will of God. What's our faith in? Do I have faith that God it's His will that this happens. When I do, then I can really pray in faith. I can pray in complete confidence when I ask the Lord to work in somebody's heart and help them to be saved, because I know that God wants all men saved. Now, there's some times where I'm not sure of the will of God. When I pray for, you know, He says here, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. When I pray for sick people, I don't always know. Why do people get sick? Why did God allow this in the first place? Can God heal it? I have total confidence, yes, He can. Will He? Well, there's the question, isn't it? Because we know He doesn't always. We know in the life of Paul, we have that example. Paul sought the Lord three times. Lord, remove this from me. And God said, no, but my grace is sufficient for thee. And so, honestly, I'll be honest. Brother Mackay was very honest with us this week. Many times when I pray for people that are ill, I do know some things. I know God is gracious. I know He's able. I know He's gracious. I mean, how many times do we see people in the Scripture bring sick to Jesus? The leper came and said, Lord, if You will, You can heal me. And He said, I will. And He touched them and cleansed them. And so I don't have a problem. I have faith that God is loving and God is good and God is gracious and He can heal. And when I bring my sick, you know, these brethren, I had an email this morning from a pastor, and his daughter is being tested for MS, and she has many, many symptoms. And can I pray in faith for God to heal or to help and touch her? Sure, I can. No, I don't command God to do anything. He's the Lord, not me. And sometimes we get that idea that, you know, we just strongly, because I believe it, God, You have to do it. I don't believe. That's not faith. That's faith in what? My will? Faith in what I want to be done? No. I just have faith in God is able and God is good. And God is gracious. And He, you know, and I can pray. But we need to pray in faith. Prayer is an act of faith. I remember going through a time where I was just thinking about that, and I was trying to think about faith and praying, and prayer is a conversation with God, and I would just say things like, Lord, I know I'm not just speaking in the air, you know. I mean, this would be a really foolish thing. Here I am kneeling in here, and if somebody walked in the room, and you know, because I come up here a lot in the middle of the week and pray, and I could be kneeling here and talking, and I pray out loud a lot of times when people aren't here. I pray out loud. You know, if somebody walked in the building and they hear me talking and they're looking around going, who's he talking to? You know? He must be, you know, he hears people talking to themselves. You think, okay, something weird about that guy, you know? But prayer is not just speaking into the air. We know that there's somebody listening. That's an act of faith, just to pray. To pray knowing that I'm speaking, and although you don't see him, I'm talking directly to God. And I believe that. I believe God hears and answers prayer. With all my heart, I believe that. When I'm praying, I'm not just speaking into the air, and that would be foolish. That'd be an exercise, and that'd be, yeah, then you may have reason to want to get me psychiatric help, you know. There's other reasons for that, but in this, I know there's somebody hearing. And I'm not talking to you when I'm praying. I'm talking to God. And so it is an act of faith. And we need to pray in faith. Now, I put this down. You can think about this, but we should expect God to answer. I have faith that God hears. I have faith in prayer. I have faith that when I pray, God sometimes says no. That's an answer. And sometimes He might say not now. And He has purposes that are higher than mine. But I do expect God to answer. And it shouldn't be, if my prayer life goes on for weeks and weeks and just seems as though nothing, God isn't hearing, heaven is like brass and the prayers aren't going through, then I have to start asking why. And that's not wrong. I mean, because I believe and I expect God to be working, answering prayer, because He tells us to pray. He gives us that privilege, and he gives us many encouragements and promises. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And so we should expect that. That's what faith is. We expect, we take God at His word. And so if there's no answer, if there's nothing going on in my prayer life, then I have to say, Lord, help me to understand, what's the hindrance? What is it that's blocking my prayer? What is it that causes my prayers to go unanswered? And sometimes the Lord may, say, well, that prayer, my grace is sufficient, but I'm not giving you exactly what you're asking for. Okay. I can accept that. Thy will be done. Or it might be God wanting me to deal with something in my life. We learned down at the couples retreat, it tells you in Peter that it tells the husbands to love their wives, live in, what's it say in Peter, to live according to knowledge with them. And then it says if you don't, it says positively, that your prayers be not hindered. If I'm not right with my wife and I'm not right before God, there's things that can hinder my prayer. And so it, that's why I'm saying, if prayers aren't being answered, we should start to look and say, Lord, what is wrong? Help me to understand. Am I praying wrong? Something's not right. And sometimes we pray with perseverance. And sometimes we pray and we expect God to answer in a certain way. And then, like with Paul, he changes your prayer. Okay, Lord, well, if you're not doing this, then the Lord can lead you to pray maybe just a little differently. I'm just saying, I'm trying to help you to understand that we really should pray in faith and believe. Not like, you know the story about when Peter was in jail. And they were in the house praying and asking God to deliver Peter. And then Peter shows up at the door. Remember the story? And the little girl heard, Rhoda, she heard the voice. She knew it was Peter. Funny thing is, she didn't open the door. She runs in back in there and says, Peter's outside, Peter's outside. And they said, oh no, you're dreaming. And she's like, no, really. And all the time, Peter's standing out there. Guys, come on, let me in. But they were praying for him. And yet, didn't expect to see him. You know what I mean?
Prayer get answered then.
Because God is gracious and God is good.
So God answers the prayer sometimes even when people don't believe?
God, He did.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's kind of good.
Yeah. And He had a desire, He was doing this for His glory and for Peter. Even in spite of, and sometimes in spite of our lack of faith, God will still. And He gives you things you don't even think to ask for, doesn't He? So certainly. But we are told to ask in faith. And we should expect to see God working through our prayer, that your joy may be full. So that's just one aspect. It's really funny because this is all meant to be my introduction. It's turned into the sermon. Anyway, so we may get to the sermon, we may not. Pray in faith. Another qualifier here is, he talks about Elijah. Look at verse 16. At the end of that, this phrase, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right? Now, I've read that many times and thought, okay, we need to pray fervently. But actually, when you look at the word structure there, the word effectual, fervent, those two words are one word in the Greek. And it just really means it's effectual, it's working, there's power there. And so the qualifier there is not really necessarily being fervent, although Elijah prayed earnestly, and we can pray earnestly. But the qualifier there is the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so if I would put it in an outline, number one, pray in faith. Number two, pray in righteousness. And again, that kind of goes back to, if my prayers are not being answered, is there something, you know, he that regards iniquity in his heart, the Lord shall not hear him, the Bible says. So, you know, if I'm not right with God, I really can't expect to ask very many favors of God, can I? If I'm in rebellion myself. Now, we're none of us are righteous in the sense of purely holy, except positionally we are. And our position is, and this is, I hope you understand what I'm saying here, we are made righteous in Christ. Isn't that true? And, you know, I'm not perfect, and you're not perfect. But when God looks at me, He looks at me through Christ, and in Christ I am righteous. And so there's an aspect of our position in Christ is we are righteous, we are God's children, we have been forgiven, we have been cleansed, we have been saved, we've been justified. And so that's necessary. You can't really begin to pray. You don't have the relationship. When Jesus taught him that model, the very first words is, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Not every man can call God his Father. How do we become a child of God? Through faith in Jesus Christ. So there's that aspect. But then I think not only just positionally we must be in Christ, we must be have His righteousness, but we also need to be right with God to expect much. You know, the effectual, if we're going to avail much in prayer, we have to be walking with God. Now thankfully, just like, you know, we pointed out that despite the fact that we are not always believing like we should, we don't have the faith what we ought to, God still blesses. And sometimes despite the fact that we're not walking right, you know, Peter was walking on the water, he was walking by faith, but then he took his eyes off and began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, help me." And God pulled him up. Now, he could have let him sink, I suppose. He could have said, "Well, you took your eyes off, you know. It's your fault. Down you go. Sorry." But aren't you glad God's much more merciful than that? Even when we're not always right, sometimes we may have to say, "Lord, help me." And God graciously reaches down and helps us. But if we expect to avail much, if our prayers are to be fervently effectual, then we need to be right with God. Another thing here, not necessarily here, but there's another qualifier in the New Testament that is found, and it's worded a couple different ways. He says in John chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Now he mentions in my name. There's six verses in the New Testament in which we are told to ask in Jesus' name. And all six of those are found in, I didn't know this before until I looked it all up, they're all six found in John 14, 15, and 16. That's the only place you find that. At least in my search. And in those chapters is where Jesus is, it was the night he was betrayed. And he was about to be crucified. And he's teaching his disciples. And he says to them, "Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. But now," he said, "you can ask in my name." So what does that mean? And I know... We tend to, and I do. I'll be honest with you. It's a habit. That's the truth. It's a habit to say, "In Jesus' name, amen." That's That's what we do. Many of us do. Not every one of you, but it is a habit. I don't think that's really what Jesus is saying. I don't think he just said, tack my name on there and that, you know, and that'll take care of it. What does it mean? Well, when we come in Jesus' name, I guess I better give you the short answer. I could drag this out too, but I was thinking about, you know, if you were in Knox, Pennsylvania, and you had to go, if your car was broke down, I'd say go to 615 Popetown Road, knock on the door, and a man named Ed Klein will come out to the door, and you say, Tom Klein told me to come here, and I need help, and he'll help you, because that's my dad. And there's a little bit of that aspect there. He's telling his disciples, you know, I'm going away. But don't worry, you can still ask, and you can ask in my name. But we're all, you know, as a child of God, we all have the privilege, God has given us the joy to come in prayer. So what it really comes down to is, it really boils down to this, it's praying in His will. Because asking His name, you know, you don't go to my dad and say, Tom wants you to do this. If he knows it's not what I want, he'll be like, no, that wasn't Tom told you that. And to say Jesus signed His name to this means this is in accordance with what He wants. So we're asking in the will of God. That's, you know, so we're to ask in faith. We're to ask out of righteousness, being right with God. And we're to ask according to His will. And again, that gets back to where we can believe and have faith, because when we know it's the will of God, then we can ask with real confidence. And, you know, God, and that doesn't necessarily, you know, sometimes like you pray for somebody to get saved and they didn't get saved that day or in that week or next, you know, for years. That doesn't mean God's not answering your prayer, by the way. Because God doesn't violate that person's will. He doesn't go up there and say, bang, you know, you're going to get saved whether you like it or not. Because that guy prayed, you know. He says, the Lord's working in his heart. And sometimes you see that work. You can almost visually see it sometimes. They're under conviction and all that. Sometimes you don't necessarily see it. That doesn't mean God's not working, right? Mm-hmm. We understand that. But we know it's His will, and we ask in His will. And so that's why, you know, when we don't know, and sometimes I will say, Lord, this is what I desire, this is what I'm asking You, but nevertheless, Thy will be done. Right? We do. We pray because it's true. We want the Lord to work in this way, but we want more than anything else, we want His will to be done. And sometimes we don't know, and He may have something that's His will that's far better than what we even thought about asking for. And so we submit to His will. Of course, Jesus gives us that perfect example when He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. We must always surrender to His will. And, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, He said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so there's at least three things about, if you think about your prayer life, and if you're trying to maybe improve and grow and so on, consider, am I asking this in faith? And can I really ask this in faith? And can I trust the Lord in this? And you know, is this something that is His will? And I may not know, but I know my Lord, and I know that, you know, I know He's good, and I know He's gracious, and I know He wants people saved, and I know He desires these things. And, you know, and we can pray like that. I said a few weeks ago when we were talking about obedience, I heard a man say this. I was reading illustrations and so on. He said, I used to ask God to use me. And he said, I don't do that anymore. He said, I just ask God to make me usable. And He will use me. He wants to use you. And sometimes, you know, we ask God for power. What we really need to, I think, pray is, God, make me someone you can show your power through. You know, sometimes, because the power is already there. The Holy Spirit is already there. The Word of God is already powerful. I just have to be a vessel through which it can flow. And when you're right in that way, the power is there. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go you, therefore, and teach all nations, implying that my power is going to be there. You just have to submit to going and being right, and God's going to do those things. We don't always have to ask. There's sometimes we pray a lot of things that, you know, we ask for, and God says, I've already given you that. That's not something you have to really ask for. You just have to abide in me and walk in my will. And so one of the things in the sermon that I'm not going to get to was, I'll tell you what, maybe we should save this and give this to you at another time, because our time is going to be gone. I, as I was thinking about, Lord, teach us to pray, I thought about this in James, and then I thought about four different Old Testament examples. I thought about Moses, and there's many others, Moses and Abraham, I'm going to combine them. I thought about Solomon, oddly, sometimes, but Solomon actually asked a very good thing. And then I thought about Elijah, and then I thought about Daniel. That was the sermon. But I think I'll have to share it with you another time. But we'll see, you can see in their example, I think, four different aspects of prayer in the life of Moses, in the life of Daniel. Solomon, he asked for wisdom. And that's a great request, wisdom. But like I say, I think I'm going to hold those, because the clock tells me that we're probably going to have to stop. But I hope that you won't get in that escape room of life and forget that you have help. All you got to do is call out and ask. And if you ask in faith, ask in righteousness, think about the will of God, submit to His will, and pray. And watch God do work in your behalf through prayer. Let's all stand, shall we?